Hey, fish fans, welcome to a new edition of Big Fish Small Pod on the Fish on First podcast channel, presented by MPT College Consulting. This is Eli Sussman hosting the Small Pod for you, where every weekday we get you caught up on the very latest Miami Marlins news and trending topics in 10 minutes or less, available on our channel wherever you get your pods, including on YouTube. So rate, review, subscribe, etc. on here. For this one, I'm recording on my final night in South Florida, my week-long trip to soak it all in every single year. It's been a great trip overall, and I wanted to just give you my three biggest takeaways from all the time spent down here almost every single day at the ballpark in Jupiter.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Number one has to be the one player who really has changed my opinion of him in this brief window, Sixto Sanchez. I saw two appearances of him, one of them in person on Wednesday at Roger Dean, and then on Sunday he pitched a televised game at Port St. Lucie. And I've been a skeptic of him for, I guess, the better part of a year. He's been so far removed from his shoulder surgeries that if his stuff didn't come back in 2023, I doubted that it ever would. And even if it did, like, how exactly would he translate to from life as a starting pitching prospect to being a reliever? Would he be able to recapture? What elements would he be able to finally magically recapture after so long away? The track record of guys missing as much time as Sixto has and coming back and being productive major leaguers, it's a really scary track record there. Not much precedent for him having much of a career after this. And yet, this was an incredible week for him. First on Wednesday, the scintillating inning of baseball that I saw this past week was his first inning in relief of that game, where he was sitting in the high 90s and locating his fastball really well. His changeup looked nasty in that appearance too, with a combination of commands and his velo getting at least in the same general area as to what it was before his injuries. That was extremely exciting. He ended up throwing two scoreless innings on Wednesday. Then he came back on Sunday working on just 3 days rest, something he'd never done during his professional career, and he throws two more scoreless innings. Now, his velo did come back down more towards the mid-90s, and overall, I've had analysis on the site about this. He's still a pretty far away from recapturing all the stuff that made him one of the very best young pitchers in baseball as of 2020 and entering 2021. That being said, he is out of minor league options. He is not allowed to run so far this spring. Like, this has been an audition in every sense of the word to show something after being so much time away. And you have to hand it to him. He is in six scoreless innings this spring. Very few balls hit out of the infield against him. He has essentially clinched a spot, I would say, in the Marlins opening day bullpen. So a couple more appearances to come for him this spring. But this has been a really great story from somebody that understandably a lot of us had counted out as being a viable member of this Marlins pitching staff. I'm eager to see exactly how the Marlins use him out of their bullpen entering the 2024 season. Second big takeaway, the Marlins really should have gotten an extension done with Luis Arraez. Even before I came down, the couple games before that, he had multi-hit games, and he just stayed scorching hot this past week. During the four games between this past Monday and Sunday, went 7-for-12 with four doubles. Doubles in every single game, zero strikeouts as usual. Overall, his last six games, he is 12-for-18. You could probably do the math. 667 hitter over his last six spring games. Again, zero strikeouts during that time. From my live looks at him, it is just breathtaking the way that he's able to adjust to any pitch type in any location, not just any part of the strike zone. He is such an aggressive guy and so in tune with his swing that he relishes in sometimes chasing pitches out of the zone, especially up and in. There were a couple instances during this past week seeing him take those pitches up and in, sometimes even with two strikes, and somehow bring his hands all the way in to keep the ball fair down the first baseline while also hitting it hard enough to get it through the infield. So a lot of those doubles were ones that were just well-placed grounders or low-line drives. He's still not going to be a big slug presence on this team, but his floor is so extraordinarily high as a player. He is going to make your team several wins better as long as he stays on the field. For all the other limitations in his game, what he provides is a great floor raiser for any lineup. And he carried the Marlins at times last year. Is he going to replicate what he did in 2023? I'm skeptical about that, about him hitting in the 350s. But in terms of him being one of the better on-base guys in all of baseball, a great situational player, and maintaining the lowest strikeout rate of any regular player in the majors, I think that's a lock. Like, his skill level is so special. It's not something you can really teach to anybody else. For a Marlins team, for any like smaller market team, you're always thinking about how you could potentially replace guys in the aggregate, replace star players when inevitably you can't afford them anymore. And there's just no solution to that here. There's no solid backup plan that I think you'd feel all that thrilled about if he does end up going. We've been over this again and again. Just 2 years of club control left for Arise. They took him to an arbitration hearing again to keep his salary down. He's been very vocal about wanting to remain with the Marlins long term, even after just 1 year with the organization. That's how well things went. That's how much he means to the players in this clubhouse and everybody in this organization. There's still time between the start of the season when maybe miraculously they do come to terms, but right now it seems highly unlikely that he gets locked up. And he is so good, and I think he's going to continue to be so productive this upcoming year, that's just hard to see the Marlins affording him throughout the rest of his prime years, unfortunately. So enjoy him while you can, because this is a really special player and somebody that's worth the price of admission. Which brings me to my third takeaway, because the price for admission at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium a couple of these games was outrageous. Even this deep into spring training, you're hardly ever going to see major league regulars staying in for the entire game. It is several innings of backups, not usually top prospects as those backups either. The quality of play due to the circumstances and due to the skill level of the guys on the field is a lot lower than any regular season major league game. I'd have to say that the worst meal that I had at any point during this week would be the chicken tenders and fries at Roger Dean. And it wasn't the cheapest meal. Classic stadium pricing, given that I didn't bring in food from the outside. The one time that I specifically got tickets in the shade in order to avoid getting too badly sunburned, the seats that I have were directly placed underneath a crackling speaker that was really distracting over the course of the game as I sat through the whole thing. I want to reiterate that the vibes around the spring training facility are awesome. That in itself has a lot of value to it. But when it comes to all these other details around the experience, not what I was really hoping for. And when you consider the price point, that for the most expensive weekend game, an all-in price of $64.50 per person to get inside. Man, those renovations cannot go soon enough. That explains why the pricing was higher than it had been previously, even for some Marlins home games, which traditionally don't have the same demand as Cardinals home games at Roger Dean. Yeah, they better put all this money to good use in order to make this a more appealing entertainment option for South Florida locals. It's hard to really compete with other entertainment options that people have down here when the pricing is what it is and when some of these deficiencies still have not been fully resolved. I hope you enjoyed this reboot of the Big Fish Small Pod for the 2024 regular season. That season is just a week and a half away. Every weekday, getting these small pods with myself and other hosts on the Fish on First podcast channel, wherever you get your pod, including on YouTube. So rate and review, all that stuff greatly appreciated, will be presented by MPT College Consulting. Contact them today at mptcollegeconsulting.com. I've been Eli Sussman for the Small Pod. I'll talk to you again from back home at my next opportunity.